Hey there, web or podcast listeners. I'm Vermont Edition producer Matthew Smith, and I wanted to let you know that this podcast has been edited to make it a little bit shorter and a little bit sweeter. Thanks, and I hope you enjoy.
This is Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm. Art is all around us, even when we're dropping off our trash and recycling. In 2016, 8 local artists were given the chance to use the big industrial recycling containers as a canvas. Muralist Mary Lacey curated the project for the Chittenden Solid Waste District. Here's Johnny Finity, Chittenden Solid Waste District's marketing specialist, talking about bringing the art of recycling to what he calls functional canvases.
I'm not expecting the art to actually, drive people to say like, oh, I need to recycle more because there's out of the container. But it does create a more subtle emotional connection with recycling. When you drop your recyclables off in a beautiful container, you just have a better feeling about it. We get comments all the time. The drop-off center operators have been saying the public response to this has been amazing.
On the rainy day we spoke with Finity and Lacey back in 2016, Mary Lacey had actually just seen one of the painted containers filled with recycling moving down the street. And she said that in addition to feeling a surge of excitement, the rolling artwork really made the invisible world of waste suddenly more visible.
One of the challenges overcoming waste and reducing it and doing it responsibly is it disappears from your sight after you dispose of recycling or trash or whatever, and remembering that just because it's not in your sight, it does not go away. And so that's my favorite part of them being seen in transit, is that it's even one step further into the unexpected realm of like remembering. I'm more passionate about art being put into an unexpected location versus something that you seek out within a closed space.
You know, dropping off your recycling may not be the first place that you expect to see remarkable artwork, but there are so many unusual places to find really fantastic art in Vermont. And today on the show, we're going to celebrate unusual art that's off the beaten path, or sometimes even more surprising precisely because it is on the beaten path. From drive-by silo art to surprising buildings that house remarkable works. And joining us first today is Karen Middleman, Executive Director of the Vermont Arts Council. She's been visiting Vermont communities since taking over the job just about a year ago, and she's actually been marking her visits with pushpins on a map at her office. Karen, it's a pleasure to have you on the show. Thanks for kicking this off today.
Glad to be here. Thank you, Jane.
You have the great good fortune of being forced to go find artwork all over Vermont. What have you been finding in your first year on the job?
That is true. I've been to 61, maybe 62 towns in the past 11 months. I've been talking to artists, visiting galleries, studios, seeing public art, going to film festivals, and lots of museums, because I love museums. And I'm struck by a couple things. One is, as we just heard, art is literally everywhere in Vermont. It can be on the side of a recycling bin, by the highway, alongside a cross-country skiing or biking trail, on an abandoned silo, almost anywhere. And then the second thing is, how many museums in Vermont are the product of one person's very particular vision? A quirky collector, someone with a passion for a particular object or a particular cause who builds an entire museum around that vision. I love museums like that.
Do you have examples of that in mind?
I do. So first on my list is the Museum of Everyday Life in Glover. That's a museum that's dedicated to exploring the life of everyday things. Matchbooks, safety pins, keys, whistles. I believe they had an exhibit that was entirely about dust. And if you go there now, their current exhibit is about keys and locks.
Would you call that art? I mean, is that art in Vermont, do you think?
It's art anywhere. There's a professional curator who invites people to send her objects and then incorporates them into exhibits. The museum itself is kind of an art experience. It's in an unheated barn by the side of the road, just south of Glover. There's a note asking you to please turn the lights out when you leave. So you kind of it's self-service. You walk in and help yourself. And there are beautiful displays where an ordinary object like a key is made into art. I love museums that take something that's completely ordinary that you encounter in day-to-day life and let you see it through an entirely different lens.
So the Museum of Everyday Life is one of them. What else? You've seen so much, but so much left to see too, I imagine. But what other things have you appreciated?
So there's the Vermont Granite Museum in Barrie, which is truly wonderful in a completely other way. It's in a historic granite shed. And it, as soon as you step into that building, it just opens up an entire world, an entire history. You can feel the history of the people who work there and the importance of the granite industry to Barrie and to Vermont. If you get super interested, they also have a self-guided tour of granite stone sculptures around Barrie. And then, of course, there's Hope Cemetery. You don't often think of going to a cemetery to see art, but Hope Cemetery is kind of like a gallery. Yeah. It's up on the hillside headed out of Barrie, and there are tombstones that are carved by the artisans who lived and worked in Barrie, and they're extraordinary works of art. There's a bed with a husband and wife in their PJs holding hands. There's a soccer ball. There's a race car. There's, of course, angels. Each one of them is an extraordinary work of art and tells a story.
What about non-museums? I mean, I don't actually think it's true that people should feel intimidated by museums or say, oh, I'm not a museum person. Because as you pointed out, Karen, there's so many different kinds of museums, and some are free and some are not, and some have paintings and some have everyday objects. So there's such a wide variety that you couldn't really call yourself a non-museum person. But there are lots of places that are not museums, like Hope Cemetery, where you can go and find art. Do you have other examples of sort of public artwork?
I do. But let me just say, I really believe if you don't think you're a museum person, there is a museum somewhere mm-hmm. in Vermont for you. If you're a nature lover, there's a museum of fly fishing in Manchester. There's a museum entirely devoted to bird carvings. There is literally a museum probably for any interest. So I don't accept that anyone's a non-museum person. But to your question about where you can come across art outside of a museum, I've heard about but haven't yet visited the Millstone Trails, which are hiking and biking and cross-country ski trails in Websterville. And evidently, they're near the site of abandoned stone quarries. And the stonemasons have carved beautiful kind of impromptu works of art that are just scattered alongside the trails. So you literally encounter them if you just happen to be out biking and hiking and walking. That's truly that wonderful kind of experience of just being out for a walk, admiring the fall foliage, and coming upon art in a totally unexpected place. And then there are the silos in Jeffersonville. So there are two massive concrete silos that were abandoned, and they were turned into a public art project thanks in part to a Vermont Arts Council grant and the Cambridge Arts Council. The silos were painted with huge images of, one of them has a farmer who represents the past of the village.
Sort of an older farmer.
Right, an older farmer looking into the distance, and they're kind of iconic images of the community's past. There's a covered bridge. There's a horse and buggy. So it clearly says this is looking back to the past. And then he's casting his gaze towards the other silo where there's a young child who represents the future.
Holding a bird, I think.
Yes. And so it's a beautiful way that community decided, in collaboration with a local artist, to embody their community history.
Yeah, it's sort of remarkable because if you're not expecting them and you're driving along Route 15, you just sort of suddenly come upon them. And they're very large. They're concrete silos. They're sort of defunct old silos. And it's this remarkable sort of scene on the side of the highway moment where you're on 15 and you think, oh, my gosh, there they are. And I think the artist on that was Sarah Rutherford. So, you know, when you think about artwork, is there one particular place that you're really, really hoping to go? You mentioned one that you haven't been to, the trails, but other things that you're just excited about now?
So let me mention two things. So first, on my bucket list, my Vermont bucket list, I have two. The Kent Museum in Calais. So that's a really extraordinary kind of hidden gem. It's a wonderful site. It's only 20 or 30 minutes outside of Montpelier, but you wouldn't know it was there unless you go looking for it. It's a row of 19th century brick buildings. And it's open to the public only once a year, thanks to our state curator and a wonderful local nonprofit. The Kent Museum is turned over to art for one time a year, and it's right now. So if you want to go, you can see they have an exhibition with a different theme every year. This year it's called Backstory. And then they feature weekend events all fall that combine the artwork with music and poetry. That is definitely on my list for either this weekend or next weekend. And then there's a museum in Waitsfield, the Madsonian Museum of Industrial Design, also on my list to visit. Their website says they display everything from cars to toasters and toys to canoes. And it's a product of one man's vision. So again, one of these quirky, idiosyncratic collectors. In this case, an architect and designer, David Sellers. And his passion was to honor and celebrate beautiful objects and the people who, the designers who strive to make everyday objects beautiful, whether it's a pencil or a chair or a vacuum cleaner. I love museums that take everyday objects and build a new story around them and show them to us in an entirely new light. So that's definitely on my list.
Well, happy trails. Karen Middleman is executive director of the Vermont Arts Council. She took that job about a year ago. Thanks for talking with us.
Thank you, Jane.
We are talking about unusual places to find remarkable art in Vermont. Some of it will make you think. Some of it might make you laugh. Some of it might ask you to actually participate in its creation. You can call 800-639-2211 with your suggestions and recommendations or your own artwork. Maybe you are a creator of unusual art and you want us to know about it. Again, our number is 800-639-2211. You can also post your thoughts on the Vermont Edition page at vpr.net. Steve emailed in to say Liquid Art in Killington is a cafe and cocktail bar set in an art gallery with an occasional bit of live music. They're open morning through evening, several days a week, depending on the season. It's really good, fresh food, mix of locals and tourists, and the art is local and changes regularly. Lola, the camper is my restored vintage camper, Brenda in Goshen says, where I sell furniture, sculptures, and more. It's located at the Happenstance Farm. Along with beautiful one-of-a-kind pieces, you can also find homemade apothecary items, candles, organic eggs, hand-cut flowers and veggies, and, if you're lucky, a freshly baked sweet treat. All right, while we're talking about art, let's talk to Matt Neckers. Matt is an artist and teacher based in Eden, and he's the founder and assistant docent at the Vermont International Museum of Contemporary Art and Design, which is a very intimidating name. Matt, I'm a little bit shy of talking with you now. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for including me.
So your Vermont International Museum of Contemporary Art and Design, or what we might also call VTIM of CA plus D World headquarters, is actually in Eden, but not always in Eden. Can you explain?
Sure, that's a good point. So it actually started with the Vermont Museum of Contemporary Art and Design, which was a 4-foot by 4-foot gallery in Eden. And then we added a mobile museum, which is actually a 1950s Can-Am style camper that's converted into a mobile museum that can literally go anywhere that where there are roads and a flat place that I can park the camper. And so it kind of started as a prank. And the idea you mentioned about the name of it, it started with just the most pretentious name that I could think of for an art venue. And then it turned into kind of an obsession where I actually started to build things. So there's miniature artwork inside of the camper. Basically, there are 25, I think approximately 25 miniature galleries and hundreds of pieces of miniature artwork that I built myself and included in the camper.
Miniature artwork like what? Describe what I would be looking at if I was inside your camper right now.
Well, the idea was not to just copy something. So rather than taking a room out of, say, the Whitney Museum or something like that and copy existing artwork, I just tried to make things that looked like contemporary art. And at first, it was just kind of a joke, but eventually, it was a really good creative exercise. So I had to work in a bunch of different media with a bunch of different styles. And it almost was like a sketchbook informing other work that I've done, because I usually work quite large. And so if you walk in, you're going to see brightly lit galleries with the wood floors and the doors and paintings and sculpture and that kind of thing. But a lot of it also involved playing with the idea of scale. So finding things in my own environment. So for instance, drill filings coming off of a drill press, if put in a certain way, actually look like modern sculpture when you put them in a smaller environment. And I also use some of the existing things in the camper. So for instance, there's an ice box that's been converted into a gallery. We also have a permanent collection. So if anybody wanted to say that they have something in an international traveling exhibition, they could send it to me and I'd put it into the permanent collection of the museum and they could put that on their resume.
Yes, you actually say artistic visitors and curious artists who want to be included can have their work included in your collection.
Absolutely, and I'd be happy to give them a title as well if there's anybody that wants to be a curator or a director of broadcasting or whatever else. We'll just make some business cards up and they can be that.
Well, as assistant docent at this museum, you must help guide people through it. So you've seen their reactions. How do people react to your museum?
Well, I mean, there are a variety of reactions. I think the first one is just to the camper itself. And for a lot of people, that's kind of a sentimental experience. They see a camper from the 50s or 60s, and that's what intrigues them in the first place. But then when they actually go inside of the camper, it's completely unexpected. And I think that's one of the themes of your show today. People aren't expecting a miniature museum. If they're expecting artwork, they're definitely not expecting that much artwork. So it's a lot of surprise, I think, at first. And then I get a lot of just, wow, that's pretty amazing from different people.
You said it helps as a creative exercise for you and, mm-hmm. and to work in sort of different media and a different scale than you normally do. So it sounds like it's actually been kind of beneficial to you. I mean, you describe it as an obsession, but it sounds like a sort of one that you love.
Oh, absolutely. And I mean, again, like I said, I started as a prank and it was just kind of a funny thing to do. And then as I started to work on it, to be able to make this many pieces of art in a short amount of time. And by the way, I heard Karen talking earlier. I got a creation grant from the Vermont Arts Council, and which was wonderful, and the National Endowment for the Arts. And what that did also, though, is I committed to doing this entire thing in a year. So I had the camper. I'd rebuilt the camper, which was an awful, terrible job. But to make all of the artwork in the museum, I had to do that in a year, which was really wow. great for my creative practice, because pretty much every day I had to go home and get in the studio and start making things and trying out lots of different things. And then the other piece of this that I didn't mention is that that I've been taking this camper around all over the state of Vermont. So about 4,000 people toured it last year and lots more again this year. So some of the locations that you've already mentioned, like the Kent Museum, the Museum of Everyday Life, are places either that I've been to or that I'm going to. So the Kent Museum was a wonderful place to visit with my museum. And I've been talking to Claire at the Museum of Everyday Life for similar things. And I'm going to forget a bunch of people, but there were 10 or 15 other locations that I've been to.
And they're not intimidated? They're not like, you can't park your museum outside our museum?
A combination. I mean, I've had different reactions. I haven't had anybody say, absolutely not. Sometimes I just show up. A couple months ago, I just showed up at the old asbestos mine in Eden and parked for a while. And the guys, there's a caretaker there who was really wonderful. And he gave me a tour of his garden and that kind of stuff. In other cases, it's something that we need to plan in advance. And so, for instance, I spent several days in City Hall Park, Burlington City Arts, hosted me there. So there's a variety of different things. And again, I'm leaving out so many people who've hosted me over the last last year or so, but it's been a wonderful experience.
Well, and if you want to find out more and upcoming visits, as well as where you can usually find him, we have a link at vpr.net. Click on today's Vermont Edition. Matt Neckers is an artist and teacher based in Eden. He's the founder and assistant docent at the Vermont International Museum of Contemporary Art and Design. Matt, thanks for talking about your micromobile museum with us.
Thank you so much.
Allison in Middlebury wrote in and said, as soon as you announced your topic of art in unexpected places, I thought of the magnificent marble floor mosaic in the entrance to the Addison County Courthouse. When the new courthouse was being built around 1994, a contest was opened to Vermont artists to propose a work of art for the entrance. The winner was Addison County artist Lawrence Lazarus, who designed a circular image of four scenes meant to be viewed in the round. He intended them to represent the special beauty of the county and to be welcoming to all its residents. The work is constructed of pieces of marble carefully assembled from sometimes rare and unlikely Vermont sources. They create a dynamic and fluid whole in tones of gray and brown. The circular design in the floor balances the circular recessed dome above and lies in the center of the transverse hallways that converge at the entrance. Lawrence thought of the order and symmetry as a subtle means of conveying a sense of dignity, balance, and fairness. Robert encouraged Kirby says there are incredible large metal sculptures in Kirby just placed on a hill at the residence of sculptor David Tanick. They're called Tools of the Trade. They're randomly placed on a hill for drivers and bikers to see on Kirby Road. They're in front of the big Bernie Barn mural, which has been there for a year. Justine says, for the past few years, I've been going to a summer event put on by Mary Sky Gallery out of Hancock. It's a contemporary arts and sound show in the forest. This past year, an artist set up 1,000 lights throughout the forest that only lasted one night. It was unlike anything I've ever seen before. I find it refreshing that there are contemporary forms of art making inroads here in Vermont. Now, if you ever find yourself at the Supreme Court in Montpelier, whether you're testifying, trying a case, or just visiting, you might notice the art gallery there. The Vermont Supreme Court Gallery was started in 1998 by current Justice Marilyn Skoglund. As an art lover, Skoglund found the court's walls too bland as they were covered with drab portraits of justices. So she turned the lobby into an art gallery. In June, she told VPR's Brave Little State about it.
And the best thing about that project down there, which has been going on now for at least 15, 16 years, I don't know, is when I can come to work and see staff standing in front of a painting and talking about it. They're not afraid of art anymore because it's around them all the time. And I think that's great.
Jack Zeilinga is an assistant state curator working on the Vermont Supreme Court Gallery inside the courthouse in Montpelier, and he joins us now. Hi, Jack. Nice to talk with you.
Thanks for having me.
So Marilyn Skoglund had this vision. How has it evolved? What do you have now in the gallery?
Well, it's evolved quite a bit in the last 20 years. I know in the clip you just played, she talked about she wasn't entirely sure. Our records show that 1998 was the first show that she put together, so it's 20 years now. And in that time, we've gone from running 5 to 6 shows a year down to quarterly shows. So we run 4 times a year, contemporary Vermont artists, and it really does cover the gamut. Justice Skoglund chooses the artists and hands them over to our office, and we work with them throughout the whole process to curate, to hang the show, to celebrate the show. So we refined it a little bit. I think we've gotten, we are probably not super well known, which is why we're on the show here with you. But we've certainly gotten more and more exposure. We did sort of a branding study and a rebranding of the space 2 or 3 years ago, and I think that that's helped us a little bit. And word of mouth by the artists, we've had a lot of great artists that have come in over the last couple decades. So we've grown quite a bit that way.
So what are the reactions like from people who are not making it a destination, you know, art gallery, but who just happen upon it? What do they say?
I think it's a surprise. I'm guessing there are very few state Supreme Court buildings you could go into around the country where you stumble into an art gallery. I'm not in that building all the time, but we certainly get feedback from folks over there who say so-and-so stopped in, you know, for a court case or for a visit, or when I have been over there. People will kind of sometimes walk in and after they go through the metal detector, look around and try to make sure they're in the right place, and then ask, you know, is this an art gallery, and start to ask questions. And there are a lot of great questions. There's a lot of interest. I think it really enriches the experience because there are a lot of people who may be just passing through but may have 10 or 15 minutes where they're waiting for whatever their appointment is. And we'll often pop over there and see people who have an appointment there or people who are there specifically to see the art, walking around, taking it in, asking questions of the sheriff who's at the front desk there, who's a wealth of information as well about the artists. And it really is, it's amazing to see folks wander into this building, sometimes on purpose, sometimes they kind of stumble in there and discover it's a beautiful space for art.
Jack Zeilinga is an assistant state curator, and he works on the Vermont Supreme Court Gallery inside the courthouse in Montpelier. Jack, thanks for talking with us about it.
Thank you for having me.
We're talking about unusual art, interesting places to find it. Catherine with the Grace Gallery in Hardwick says, in downtown Hardwick is the Grassroots Art and Community Effort, or GRACE, and it's been an important part of the arts in the Northeast Kingdom for more than 40 years. The Grace Gallery offers workshops and has a vast collection of consigned work, as well as a permanent collection. And the workshops help bring art into nursing homes, senior centers, state agencies, and more. Jan is calling in from Rochester. Hi, Jan. You want to share a recommendation?
Hi. Yeah, a couple. We have a great art gallery here in Rochester called the Big Town, and also in Randolph at the Gifford Hospital. When you walk through the halls connecting one part to the other, there's a great gallery, and it's always local artists, and it's really nice, kind of just when you're at the hospital doing something you may not want to do, to go see the art.
Well, I love hearing about that. I mean, the hospital is a perfect place for art because you sort of have to be there, and it's a nice place to see some wonderful things. And Big Town Gallery, I visited too, Jan, and I think after Irene, I visited it to do a story, and what a neat little place. Thank you very much for sharing those. Let's go to Chach Preger, who's the founder and director of the Farm to Ballet Project and now the Ballet of Vermont, who's calling in. Hi, Chach. Nice to hear from you.
Hi. Thanks for having me on.
So what do you want to recommend?
I wanted to recommend our show of Bees and Friends, which is going up this weekend at Highland Lodge in Greensboro, Vermont. Putting ballet on the grass is definitely an unusual way to see it. So I thought that applied to your show today. It's a great show. I really enjoy this topic.
Well, Chach, thanks for sharing. And Farm to Ballet seemed so unusual when it emerged. And now it just seems like something that, yes, people do every summer in Vermont. Thank you for calling in and sharing that and reminding people of what a joy that is. Appreciate hearing from you. And let's also go to Pat, who's calling in from Bakersfield. Hi, Pat. What do you want to share?
Hi, Jane. Well, I love art of all sorts. And several years ago, a family who live in Bakersfield on North Main Street, on the right as you're heading toward Enosburg, had their house is on a hill. And they had a mural painted on the rock retaining wall there. And it's got a bear and some other things. And it's so cool. It's really, really pretty. And the other thing is, in Franklin County, I think there's actually a pamphlet that's been out for years of a quilt block painted on barns. But recently, Penny Goss's one, I saw one on her little shed at the foot of her driveway. And they started appearing on other barns and on even the houses. You know, just a quilt block of any pattern you wanted, but hand-painted. And they look so cool. They're
Pat,
really pretty.
Yeah, thank you for sharing that. I appreciate hearing your recommendations. And, you know, I want to play something now for you. Speaking of the barn quilt, so in Franklin County, there are more than 200 barn quilts that are on buildings, homes, and other structures. And they bring these, as Pat mentioned, these sort of simple geometric patterns to a plywood canvas. And at least the ones in Franklin County are the work of Fern Mercure and her Sheldon Raiders Homemakers Club. The group started with just 12 barn quilts, and Mercure told us a few months ago that she just couldn't stop.
It probably goes back to my love of quilting. I love to see this design come to life. And they're fairly easy to make. You only need a few basic math skills to draft the design. And then once you start applying the paint, you know, the colors speak to themselves. And it's very rewarding to see this quilt come to life.
You know, we have a link if you'd like to make your own barn quilt. We have the directions at vpr.net, and we'd love for you to share your favorite off-the-beaten-path art recommendations with us. I'll share one. If you haven't been to the Burlington International Airport lately, you're in for a treat when you see the 10-foot-tall elephant made of steel and metal and chains. It's called Gravity, and I find that an interesting juxtaposition for an airport art installation. It was created by Panton sculptor Eben Markowski, and there's a lot of other art at the airport, too. It's a great location for a captive audience, so great artwork there to check out. And speaking of sculpture, Charlotte Davenport is the co-director of Sculpture Fest, an annual outdoor exhibit that's been going on for more than 30 years. Hi, Charlotte. Nice to talk with you.
Hello. This is an interesting show.
Good. Well, I'm glad you think so.
Oh, I've got all kinds of field trips set now.
Well, tell me a little bit about Sculpture Fest. I mean, it sounds like a festival, but in some ways it's a year-round,
yes,
permanent outdoor sculpture installation.
It has become. We have two sections, and the one on Prosper Road and Woodstock from is on all year. It's even open in the winter. And when artists get accepted into this exhibition, we usually keep work for 2 years. If it sells, it's off and away, so often we replace new pieces each year, too, as well. And people come from all over. Schools bring school buses and homeschooling and garden clubs. And senior residences are also a option now, too, because if there are people who can't get around too well, I can take them. I have a Kubota that I can take people who don't like walking in the fields and on the hills, and it's become quite a popular thing right here in this region, in this part of Vermont.
Well, what do you see as the value of having this art in a natural setting that people can walk through and experience on their own time and in their own way?
Well, I think probably the most wonderful thing about it is that I'm seeing people beginning to collect really interesting art and surrounding their homes and fields and ponds with beautiful things made by people who are currently, in the last 20 years, a lot more artists are working in this way. And people aren't building these huge mansions, and those who do actually are not as interested in this sort of thing. These are usually people who love the fields and maybe don't have their horses anymore. We had horses and children and dogs and 27 acres originally, and 12 of those are now part of the open gallery for people to hike in, have picnics in, bring their children, and also purchase art.
Your artwork is included among this rotating cast of artists. What do you make?
Well, this year I have a piece that was in a show down in North Bennington, which is a show curated by Joe Churchill-Rillo, who's had a They've had a show down there outside around the town of North Bennington for quite a long time. And I have a piece from that show that I showed last year down there, and it's on the 10 rivers that I chose to focus on, and it's called River Lines, and it's about poetry, seeing yourself in mirrors as you look into this, and the lines of rivers of different places in the world. So my own work is environmentally oriented often now, although I have other pieces that are made out of ceramics and chimney tiles, actually, too. So I'm working in ways that I hope are environmentally considerate of the land. I have a piece across the way in another area where we have sculpture displayed on a Vermont Land Trust property, and it celebrates a brook that goes through. It's non-invasive glass put on places that are very sparkly, where you brings your attention to this brook that goes down to the Yaticuchi River. I'm really interested in how these brooks travel in and out of the river waves and all the way, you know, into the big river here, Connecticut. And so, but the work here is much more saleable. I wanted to speak first about Chris Miller, who got an award along with Jerry Williams recently, last Thursday, I think it was. We went up to the Granite Museum, which you spoke about. And what I'm noticing in Vermont, for people who are actually selling work here, their work is from traditions of work. And even if they've just gotten here, they quickly adapt to stone, to carving into it, to wood, to found objects, to recycling materials like roofing. I have a young woman artist named Stefania Uris this year. She made her own bricks, and they used roof tiling, and she did a piece about her home. Their people just seem to respond and change the minute they get work on the land in this particular region. Huh. It's very related to Vermont, I would say.
Well, yeah. I mean, the landscape and the land, and interesting then to have artwork on the landscape. Charlotte Davenport is co-director of Sculpture Fest, an annual outdoor sculpture exhibit that's been going on for about 30 years. Charlotte, thanks very much for talking with
us. Thank you. I'm going to listen to the rest of this.
Good. And the rest of it is still to come. Share your favorite unusual art in interesting places, or interesting art in unusual places. We're talking about great and unusual places to discover art in Vermont. From camper vans that might just show up at a live event near you, to WPA-style artwork on silos in Jeffersonville, to this, a series of murals that turned an eyesore, a chain-link fence surrounding a demolished city block in Newport, into a colorful reflection of community. Local theater company owner Lynn Limer donated bolts of weather-resistant fabric to transform the safety fence. Artist Victoria Matheson was tapped to do the artwork, and she discovered the power of art to connect different parts of Newport.
Fabric appeared, and I started painting and drawing, and I did all the designs. But what happened was that as we did the first three designs, which were just kind of generic, if you like, groups came forward and said, would you do a design for us?
VPR's Amy Noyes reports those murals now reflect several local organizations, and other materials were worked into the fence murals, too. The cycling group Kingdom Velo had an actual bicycle woven into the fence, climbing a mountain trail made of plastic bags, and you can see this mural just off Main Street in downtown Newport. We're joined now by Andrea Rosen, who curates an academic art museum, the Fleming Museum at UVM, but like so many of our guests today, she has varied and eclectic interests. Andrea, it's nice to talk with you.
Thanks for having me.
So, what do you think? Artwork everywhere in Vermont, really?
Oh, definitely. As you're getting a sense, we're just scratching the surface.
So tell us one that you recommend, not at the Fleming yet, although I want to ask you about the Fleming as well. But what's an off-the-beaten-path piece of art that you've discovered?
Off-the-beaten-path. So I recommend anyone interested in unusual art in unusual places follow Overnight Projects on Facebook or other social media. This is artist Abby Meeker, who creates site-specific installations working with other artists. So it might pop up, you know, just for a weekend in an abandoned motel, or light up watches in the trees in City Hall Park in Burlington. Right now they've got a longer running show at the McCarthy Gallery at St. Michael's College, an artist named Amanda Turner-Pohan doing an exhibition, sort of an art archival project about the history of corn, including Abenaki cultivation and biotech, and there'll be a participatory performance with that show on September 22nd.
It's so cool. Let's get another call in here while we're talking about unusual artwork. Karen is calling in from Waterbury. Hi, Karen. What do you want to recommend?
Hi. I'm really excited because Waterbury just installed a brand new public art sculpture on the railroad bridge in our town at the entrance of town. I mean, literally, it was installed on Sunday. And it's a 60-foot-long train built by Philip Godenschwager, an artist in Randolph. We received a Vermont Animating Vermont Arts Council Animating Infrastructure Grant to do it. But what's really cool about this project is that it is one of the only art sculptures that can be found on a working railroad bridge anywhere in the United States.
Huh.
We found maybe one or two other sculptures. It was incredibly difficult to do, but we managed to pull it off. We had the support of the New England Central Railroad, and they worked with us for over 2 years to succeed in doing this. But as you drive into Waterbury, it's right there in front of you. It's definitely in an unusual place. It would surprise you and delight to everyone. I mean, we're just thrilled. It's so exciting.
Oh, well, Karen, congratulations, and thanks for sharing it with us. Good timing here. Jen on Facebook says, I explored the Birds of Vermont Museum in Huntington this past weekend. It's an amazing place for anyone who loves birds or wood carving or both. It's built from the passion of one man, Bob Speer, who carved over 500 birds and put them in dioramas. This place is a treasure. One of the cool, unexpected pieces of art that I've seen is actually at UVM, and it's a bust of the very first sports bra. I visited with Hinda Miller, who helped design the sports bra, and she and her colleagues started designing it in the costume shop at the theater at UVM, and you just come upon it in this hallway, and it's this bronze bust of a bust. Andrea Rosen, what about at the Fleming? I mean, one of the wonderful things about having an institution like the Fleming is you can bring unusual art to the museum and bring people who know about the museum to these sort of unusual exhibits. So what about at the Fleming would you recommend?
Yeah, well, we talked to Matt Neckers earlier, and he'll be bringing his mobile museum to the Fleming this coming spring, and we'll have sort of a mini iteration of it within the gallery as well. And, you know, right there in our lobby is Lars Erik Fisk's Barn Ball. So this was on the cover of the Fish album Round Room, and Lars is known for kind of taking any everyday structure and turning it into a sphere. So in addition to the one in our lobby, there's a new one on campus, a school bus ball, appropriately enough. And that's part of a campaign that our president and the museum's director have piloted. We've added 7 new public sculptures to UVM's campus in the last 2 years, and there's more to come. So just walking around UVM's campus, you'll come across a lot of great new public sculptures.
So do you do that, just walk around campus and say, huh, look at that?
Yeah, I mean, I just ran into that bust of a sports bra the other day. Great. Another cool art spot on campus you might come across, so if you go into Williams Hall, the art building, turn right down a hallway where there's classrooms and offices, is WAMCA, the Williams Hall Art Museum of Kitsch Art. And it's intentionally redundant. This is another quirky collection that was the brainchild of one individual, Edwin Orr, longtime sculpture professor at UVM. So it's old Disney toys, and, you know, many people contributed over the years. It's, you know, just, again, another eclectic collection of random, everyday, kitschy stuff.
Well, I love it. And thank you for sharing that with us. Andrea Rosen is curator of the Fleming Museum of Art at the University of Vermont. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Shane.
And listeners, you can continue to share your favorite unusual artwork at vpr.net. Just click on Vermont Edition.